Turn to Psalms chapter 33, and I want to preach on the subject of celestial citizens. Psalms chapter 33, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 22, or 12, sorry, to 22. Psalms chapter 33. And as I mentioned, I'm certainly glad to be a Canadian. We in Canada don't necessarily have the longest history in the world. I know when we were over in Scotland some years ago, we've seen some incredibly old relics and different things like that. And the same when we were in Spain, I know we were in one restaurant in Spain there, and part of the restaurant was over 1,000 years old. I just said, I hope that's not the food that we're getting at the restaurant that particular day, be a little stale by then. But, you know, Canada does have a rich history, amen? It has a very rich history, and I've read quite a few books on the history of Canada and some of the different things that have happened here, and we, again, have a rich history. 1451, there was the Iroquois Confederacy that was formed, and 1497, John Cabot reached Newfoundland. In 1534, Jacques Cartier first explored the St. Lawrence region. In 1608, Samuel de Champlain established the French colony in Quebec City. In 1617, the Hudson Bay Company was formed, and in 1755, we saw the expulsion of the Acadians. In 1759, the Battle of the Plains of Abraham in Quebec City, and Quebec City was captured. In 1763, the New France is formed. It ceded to Britain, and Pontiac Rebellion erupted. In 1783, the Loyalist refugees begin arriving after the American Revolution. In 1812 to 1814, we saw the War of 1812 when the United States invaded Canada. In 1837 and 38, there was the rebellion against British rule in Upper and Lower Canada. In 1848, the responsible government is won, and Nova Scotia became part of Canada. In 1867, the Confederation was signed. The only four provinces made up the original Confederation. I should have had that on the trivia there. It was Quebec, Ontario, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick. In 1870, the Red River Resistance took place in Manitoba, and Manitoba, was created as a state, as a province. In 1871 and 1873, respectively, British Columbia and Prince Edward Island joined Canada. In 1885, the Northwest Rebellion and the Canadian Pacific Railway was completed. In 1905, the province of Alberta and Saskatchewan were created. 1914 to 1918, Canada was involved in World War I. In 1919, the Winnipeg General Strike took place, which sent the whole province into a state of chaos. In 1928 to 1930, Canada went through the Great Depression. 1939 to 1945, Canada was involved in the Second World War. And in 1949, Newfoundland became a province of Canada. And in 1959, the St. Lawrence Seaway, which was a major transportation route, was officially opened. In 1960, Quebec's Quiet Revolution began, and Native Canadians were given the vote. In 1967, Canada celebrated its 100th birthday and was the last year the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. I just had to throw that in there. 1970, there was the October crisis, political kidnappings, and Ottawa suspended civil rights in Canada. And I will end with this one. In 1980, the Quebec referendum on sovereignty, on the Sovereignty Association, was defeated by a vote of 60 against the 40 in favor. And I'm glad Quebec's still part of Canada, amen? And We certainly have a rich history in Canada. And I want us to notice there in Psalms chapter 33 and verse 12, I want us to notice verse 12. We're going to read again, as I mentioned, right through to verse 22. But verse 12 is what we're going to look at. And it's really the crucible of this portion of Scripture. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Canada. And Lord, we've seen here that the nation who knows God will be blessed. And Lord, I believe that Canada is a country that has known you. And Lord, we in our day see a decline. We see a falling away. But it's not just in our country. The countries of the world, those that once stood strong on the Word of God and on the very gospel of Jesus Christ, are slipping away. And we as your people, God, we are the remnant. We are those that have committed our lives to you. We are those that have put our faith and trust in you and desire to see our nation strong and free. And Lord God, I pray that you would bless our time together today. And that, Lord, we would learn even our responsibilities as citizens of Canada to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders, and God, to be all that we can be as citizens of this country. God, would you bless our time together here this morning? Bless the children downstairs. And God, we just pray that all would be done for your honor and glory. We'll thank you, we'll praise you, and give you the praise. And we'll give you the glory. And God, as we've even seen in our text today, we need to give you the credit for our country's greatness and our help and our strength and our protection. God, I pray that you would bless in Jesus' name and amen. The first thing I want us to notice here, number one, is a chosen nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And first of all, we've got to see here that God has blessed, especially here in the Old Testament, one nation in particular, the nation that now called upon him and begins to praise him for all that they had done for him, or all that he had done for them, sorry. And this nation, as we know, Israel, realized that all that they were and all that they had become and their greatness around the world and their testimony as a nation, a thriving nation, a healthy nation, a rich nation, was all due to the fact that God had blessed them. And God had protected them. Remember years back when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, when Israel was in Egypt, they knew nothing of warfare. They knew nothing of defense. They knew nothing of strategy, and they had no generals, and they had no army. They had no one to organize an attack or to organize a defense or to even tell somebody how you were supposed to use a sword. And yet when Israel left Egypt, they found themselves in battles, and suddenly they had to defend themselves, and they realized that God was telling the truth when he said that they would learn what God can do for them because God was going to be the one who defended them. And God miraculously and supernaturally won battle after battle after battle. And remember her up in the mountain holding up Moses' arm. And as long as that arm was held up, as long as it was there, the Israelites were winning in the battle because they knew it was the power of God that was behind them. Israel was the chosen nation of God. They were blessed indeed and chosen. And the marks of blessings, the marks of the blessings of God were clearly and unquestionably seen on that nation. But today, I believe God's blessing is upon any nation that flies the Christian flag. Any nation that knows God and any nation that fears God will be blessed of God. And we will have God's blessing. When we think about Great Britain, I don't know if anybody's read I don't know if there's any copies of it left on the back table there, but not just it, but many other books as well. But the Heroes of the Faith, talking about all of the great missionaries of a day gone by. And you look at Great Britain at one time. Great Britain was the hub of world evangelism and missions. Almost all of the great missionaries came from Great Britain. The Church of Scotland was a fiery preaching, gospel preaching church. And even in England, certainly the remnant of the faith, the people that loved God and the people that wanted the Bible exalted. Yet we find today, we are sending missionaries to England. And certainly England, which was once what we might call the first of the great superpowers, not only was Great Britain for many hundreds of years the superpower in the world, the mightiest armies and the mightiest navies that the world knew, but they were economically and politically sound as well. They were doing great things. It was a wealthy nation. We also see in the United States as well a country that was born under the guise of religious freedom. People flocked to the United States simply to worship according to their own conscience. It became a nation that was built under Christian precepts, biblical principles. And everywhere in their constitution there are found Bible verses. And everywhere in the writings of the Constitution, there are found Bible verses. And once upon a time, above almost every courtroom in the United States were written Bible verses. And outside of every government building were written Bible verses. It was a nation that was built on the precepts of God. Canada as well has deep-rooted Christian heritage. People as well flocked to Canada for religious freedom. It was founded on the belief that the nation, that any nation that would glorify God would see true freedom and a strong country. God, keep our land glorious and free. Secondly, we see here that His providence and care is extended to that particular nation. And I mentioned a little bit about Israel and about how they were protected and about how we clearly saw over and over and over again that nation finding God's providence. In Psalms chapter 33 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And we can gather by these verses here that God's providence is not only on the nation of Israel, but it's on the entire earth. And God looks down from heaven and he sees the righteous and he says, my providence will be upon them. His way is the best way, and God's protection is the best protection. The citizens of Frederick, Austria, they didn't know what to do. Napoleon's massive army was preparing to attack. Soldiers had been spotted on the heights above this little town. This little town was situated on an Austrian border. A council of citizens was hastily summoned to decide whether they should try to defend themselves or whether they should display the white flag of surrender. And it happened that this particular incident took place on Easter Sunday. So they decided to just simply have the meeting in the church building. The pastor rose that morning and said, friends, we have been counting on ourselves for our strength and our protection. And apparently it has failed. As this is the day of our Lord's resurrection, let us ring the bells, have our service as usual, and leave this in God's hands. We know only our weakness, but we don't know the power of God to defend us. The council accepted his plan, and the church bells began to ring out. The enemy, hearing the sudden peal, concluded that the Austrian army had arrived during the night to defend the town. And before the service ended, the enemy broke camp and they left. God is our protection. And Roman numeral number 2, we see God's providence in action. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 15, the Bible says this, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And I want us to understand what God is saying to us here when he says he fashioneth their hearts alike. What he's saying is his gracious influence is poured out on the hearts of all indiscriminately. God is not an individual who would show mercy to one and not another. God's judgments are equal and our hearts are treated the same. God has given every one of us the power and the ability to repent. God has given every one of us the power and the ability to turn our hearts towards God. God has given us all the same heart. And who knows the heart better than God? Who knows the heart better than God? You know, when we've created something, we most definitely know it better than anyone else. If we've made something, we know it better than anyone else. We would be the creators. And listen, no one knows our hearts better than God. No one. You know, when I was at Ford, we had over the years that I was there, we had a lot of robots that had come into the plant. And these robots, people say, yeah, they take away people's jobs. Well, no, they don't actually. They create more jobs because they're breaking down all the time. And when they break down, you get to have 3 guys to replace them, plus 5 maintenance guys to try to keep them going. Amen. And we were kind of happy when they came in. It usually meant more jobs. But we had this one particular robot that came in. And what this machine did was it put the valve stem into the tires, into the rims. And so the rims would come down and this machine would turn. It had a laser to find the hole. It would turn it into the right position. And the mechanical robotic arm would come over and it would pop in that little rubber valve stem. Well, that machine broke down one day, and so they brought over the maintenance crew, they brought over the millwrights, and they They tinkered with it for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they couldn't figure out how to get it going. So the next shift came into work, and they thought they would send their best millwrights over to try to get it going, fix the problem. And so they couldn't get it going either. So then the engineers, you know, if the millwrights can't do it, the engineers will figure it out. So all these engineers come over, and they're all trying to figure it out. And this literally went on for 3 or 4 days, and it became a competition in the plant. If you had some spare time, somebody would go over and they would try to figure out how to get this machine going. And nobody could do it. So they finally gave up and they called the manufacturer. They said, listen, we've got a problem. We cannot fix this machine. And so they said, okay, we will send the creator, the guy that designed it, to your plant and he will fix it. So a couple days later, the guy shows up, and they bring him to the plant. He comes in the plant, and I remember I just happened to be there working in the tire room that day. And so I watch this guy walk in. He opens the bottom panel. He goes up inside underneath it, and I am not exaggerating. In 15 seconds, he had that thing going again. 15 seconds. And all the guys, all the millwrights are going, The most interesting thing about that experience was the guy that designed that robot and the guy that they flew in and the guy that crawled underneath it and fixed it in 15 seconds was 15 years old. He was a genius. Who better than the Creator to fix our problem? Who better than the Creator to know our hearts? And the Bible says here that God fashioneth all our hearts the same. In other words, we all have equal opportunity to worship God. And God knows our hearts, each and every one of our hearts. You know, I'm glad that God didn't make us all robots, but God gave us all a will, and God gave us all a soul, and God gave us all equal opportunity. And God here says that He knows our hearts and that He wants us to serve Him. In Psalms chapter 94 and verse 9, the Bible says, He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? God knows. And then thirdly, Roman numeral number 3, the deliverer. God, our deliverer. And I want you to notice verses 16 to 19 here. The Bible says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Now, I want us to go all the way back to our original verse there, our first verse, verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And what I want us to do right now is kind of tie in what we learned in Sunday school about being religious. You know, there's a lot of nations in the world that are religious. There's a lot of people in the world that are religious, that pray to a God, that believe in a God, but all they are is religious. But the Bible says here that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, where we've made God our Lord. What does it mean to make God our Lord? Well, yeah, it means we accept Him as our Savior. But making God our Lord and having God and our Lord goes more farther than just simply accepting Him as Savior. It means putting Him into action. And the idea here is that any nation or any person that puts God in that place, that makes God their Lord, will be protected and will be blessed. It's one thing to know God, but it's another thing to know Him, to put Him into action, and to make Him our God. Remember Israel. They were being overcome by the Philistines. And they didn't know what to do. They were getting a little bit desperate. They were religious. They had all of the religious aspects in their nation. But they were being defeated. They had no protection. They had no help. You might say, they made God their Lord. But no, they didn't. They had not made God their Lord. And so they thought, you know what we'll do? Let's take the Ark of the Covenant with us. And let's take it out into battle. Surely, if we take the Ark of the Covenant out there, surely we're going to win that battle. And to make the long story short, at the end of the day, they lost the battle. The Ark of the Covenant was captured. And it wasn't until they made God their Lord and returned to God that God won the battle for them. The Bible says that there's never been a king. There's never been a king that's won a battle because of might, because of the absolute grandeur of their army, because of the fact that they had bigger cannons and more airplanes and straighter shooting rifles. The Bible says there's not one. Why have the kings won battles? Why has their nation been protected? It's because God is their Lord. You know, I thank God for Canada. Amen. But one fact that I think most people know is that Canada doesn't have a very good army. We don't have a very good navy. A few years ago, didn't we buy a bunch of rusty old submarines that leaked? And we have a few helicopters that crash because they're so old. And I think during the Second World War, Canada had the fourth largest navy in the world. But we've kind of, you know, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that we don't pump all our money into the army, into defense and all of that thing. I think Canada certainly has a place in the world with some of the things we've done as far as peacekeeping and different things like that. But I said that to say this, you know, we are vulnerable. I mean, we are a vulnerable country. We have got we're the second largest country in the world, but I think we actually have the largest border because our country goes like this, you know. It's like crazy. And we don't have a defended border. We do not have a defended border. You're saying, well, what about the security guards at the border crossing? Well, yeah, but we don't have a defended border. Maybe Donald Trump would like to put a wall up in our border as well, but we don't have a defended border. There are some houses in Quebec where the line between the United States and Canada runs through their living room. You want to talk about identity crisis, amen? Am I American or I'm American when I eat? I'm Canadian when I sleep, I guess. I don't know. But our nation, our borders are not guarded. We're the only country in the world that can say that. And why have we been protected? A lot of people say, well, we got Big Brother to the south. Well, we do. We've got the United States. I'm glad they're our allies, amen? At least for now. I'm not sure if this guy continues in government. I'm not sure if they're going to be our allies for much longer. But the guy up here, by the way. But why we've had protection. And then the Bible talks about horses. And you know, those that trust in horses. A horse, the Bible says, is a vain thing. Don't trust the horse. Amen? There was a guy, he wanted to buy a horse. So he went down to this particular place that he knew sold horses. And he said, this is the kind of rider I am. I've got a little bit of experience. I've ridden a little bit. But I'm looking for this type of horse. And so the guy there, he figured, I've got the perfect horse for you. He said, this horse is an excellent horse. It's so obedient. It will do anything you want, willing to please. He said, but there's only one little problem with it. Someone trained it very differently. He says, if you want it to go, you've got to say, thank heavens. And if you want it to stop, you've got to shout, hey, hey. Those are the only ways to get it to stop. The guy says, well, it sounds like the horse for me. If it's going to be obedient, I don't care what you've got to say. you know, I like this horse. So we bought the horse, and he took it home, and he jumped on its back and went out for a ride one day. And that horse started running really fast through the field, and he started getting a little bit panicked. And as he got panicked, he completely forgot what he was supposed to shout to get the thing to stop. And it's just a running. It's doing a beeline, and it's heading straight for a ravine, a great big cliff that dropped down about 200 feet. And he's shouting everything he can think of. And just as he was approaching that ravine, it came to him and he shouted, "Hey, hey," and that horse stopped. And it was about a foot from that ravine's edge. That guy was so thankful. He looked up to the sky and put his hand in his head and he said, "Thank heavens." Never trust the horse. Amen. And you know, I'm thankful for our military and what we've done in the First and Second World Wars and again our peacekeeping endeavors over the years. I'm thankful for the United States. I'm thankful for Britain who really have been the world's defenders over the years. But ultimately, God is the one that wins the battle. And so, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think it's a blessed thing to know that God is on our side. Amen. He's the greatest ally that we could ever have. You know, back in Bible times and up until the fall of the Roman Empire, one of the greatest things that anyone can say or would be able to say is, I am a Roman citizen. If you were a citizen of Rome, you had it all. I mean, you were given rights to the city. You were given liberty. You were given protection. If you were a Roman citizen, you arrived. You were there. You were downtown, and it was a great honor to be able to say that I was a Roman citizen. And you remember Ben-Hur, back in that old movie Ben-Hur. I love that movie, and during that movie, Ben-Hur was going to be given citizenship of Rome. And that was a great honor, and you can kind of pick it up a little bit in that movie and understand that for somebody to be given citizenship of Rome, I mean, you were there. Whether you lived on the banks of the Euphrates or the storied Rhine River, wherever you lived, if you were a Roman citizen, that was greater than being the king of any other country in the world. And I would like to be able to say that being a Canadian citizen is just as great. A great nation. A noble nation. A nation that is revered in this world and looked up to. But you know, as Christians, We are a nation. We are a nation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." In Psalms chapter 144, verse 15, the Bible says, "Happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Our God is the Lord. You know, the nation that we live in, our great country of Canada, is corrupt. It's fallible. It's run by sinners. We've got to remember those sinners were elected by sinners. But this is not our true nation. Canada is not our home. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 24, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ." That word conversation there is talking about citizenship. And I'm glad that while we're here on this earth, I'm glad that Canada is our residence. And I'm thankful for our nation. And I'm thankful for our Christian heritage. But I am looking for another country. Amen. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be a citizen of heaven is far greater than to be a citizen of Rome or to be a citizen of Canada. verse 22 there in your text. I want you to notice this. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I'm glad for Canada. And you know, our national anthem says, Lord, keep our land glorious and free. And it leads me to wonder if they were looking at Psalms chapter 33 and verse 22 when they penned those words. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Lord, keep our land glorious and free. And I pray that God's mercy and God's hand would continue to be upon our great country. And I pray for revival amongst God's people. It's going to start here in the house of God. Let's love our Lord. Let's consider our citizenship. And let's be all that we can be for God's honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be here today. God, I thank you for our nation, this nation that we live in. But God, we know, as we've seen tonight, that our home, our nation, our citizenship is in heaven. But God, while we're here on our pilgrim journey, walking through this land, may we be thankful for our country. And God, I pray for revival, not only in our government and in our nation, but in our churches. God, it will start here. God, I pray for Justin Trudeau. I pray for our newly elected premier in Ontario. God, I pray for our governing officials, that each one of them would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, God, that we would see a revival in our country. I pray, God, that we would see it start in the house of God. Lord, help keep our land glorious and free. And we know by experience, and even as we've been looking in the book of Micah, what happens to a nation that forgets God, that turns their back on you. And Lord, I just pray, God, that our hearts would be for thee, and you would be our God, and you would be our Lord. And Father, No, I haven't preached on salvation this morning, but my prayer is that if there's somebody here today without Christ, I pray, God, that they would be desirous and desiring to get that settled today. And God, I pray for the Christian. Maybe we just want to come to this altar and thank God for their country, and maybe to help us to be a better citizen, to be more than we can be because we know Christ. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings. Would you bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name? And amen. Let's stand together.